Good morning. Today's daf is Yuma daf Chav Ches. We are holding on the bottom daf Chav Zayin and Beis, two lines from the end of the page on Chav Zayin and Beis. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we'll finish the second parak and begin the third parak of Maseches Yuma. Just if I could take a minute before we start the shiur, one of the sponsors that are going to be sponsoring the shiur for the next several weeks, I think is worth just talking about for a minute. And today's daf and many dafim going forward is sponsored on behalf of, but not by, on behalf of dailygiving.org, which is a tzedakah yomi organization. It is to chesed what daf yomi is to Torah learning. If you're not familiar with it, it's really an incredible organization where the mission is to have all Jews to easily perform the mitzvah of tzedakah each and every day, and they disperse all of the collected funds to different Jewish organizations around the world on a daily basis. And right now, if everybody what they do is you sign up, and then you give a dollar a day, and they have over 5,900 people signed up, so they're giving over $5,900 a day to different Jewish organizations, and they have a rabbinic board with Rav Moshe Tavulif and Rav Shechter and other Gedolei Torah who determine which organizations should be on their list. They take nothing. Every penny goes to tzedakah. So $1 a day can impact millions of Jews around the world. It takes like 30 seconds to join. dailygiving.org, not .com, .org, not .com. It's really just an incredible idea of kol pruta pruta mitzdaref l'cheshbon gadol, that every little pruta is mitzdaref. You know, one of the beautiful things about daf yomi is everybody's learning the same topic. So this is really the equivalent in the world of chesed, where everybody's giving to the same tzedakah, just a little bit, and the tzedakah is getting so much because there are so many people that are giving. So dailygiving.org. Now, today's shiur is also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him very much for the sponsorship. Were there any more? Did Avi send an email? Oh, I didn't. Okay. And it's also sponsored by
number 2 and 3.
Ken and Marcy Kapel, in memory of Ken's grandfather, Yaakov Kapel, whose yahrzeit is today, Yaakov Emanuel Ben Chaim Zev, his neshama shav and aliyah, and also Beth Seskar, in appreciation of his wife Rebecca, and all the other busy mothers who encourage their husbands in their learning. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. So we thank all of the sponsors. That's a good one. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. Okay, so let's begin. We're holding on that Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So first, we're going to have a different version of what the challenge to Rabbi Yochanan was. Rabbi Yochanan said on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Beis that if a czar is masada the maracha, he's chayv misa b'dei shemayim for arranging the wood on the mizbeach, because a kohen should be the one doing that. So we had one challenge yesterday. Now we're going to have a separate version of what the challenge is to that. Now, why should it be that a czar is going to be chayv misa for being masada the maracha? So today's challenge is going to be, after all, it's not an avoda tama. It's not the last avoda that's done in the Seder Advarim. And then the Mishnah, that's going to take us, it's going to be very familiar, Shakla Vitaria, it's going to take us to the end of the parak. Then the beginning of the third parak, the Mishnah is going to start going through the schedule of the day on Yom HaKippurim in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to have a conversation that takes place between someone who's looking out for the sunrise, looking out for the rays of sun that are showing up in the sky, and people on the ground who are saying, do you see it yet? Do you see it all the way to Hebron? And we're going to have different versions of who's involved in that conversation, or how many times, who says what in the conversation. We're also going to have a different version of the exact words used to describe the rays of sun that are in the morning. But along the way, we're going to discuss a little bit about Avraham Avinu's alacrity in approaching tefillah, and Avraham Avinu's shmiras hamitzvos. So we're going to have some agarita on those topics on Amud Beis. So let's begin. Again, we're at two lines from the bottom of the page on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So says Gemara, we had said on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Beis that according to Rabbi Yochanan, a czar who's misad of the maracha is chayev misa. So the ikadamri masked for Rabbi Zera, that Rabbi Zera challenges Rabbi Yochanan. Do you have such a thing as an avoda where it's not the final step in the process? Upsulub czar, and yet the czar is not allowed to do it. I thought only those avodos that are so chashim that they're the final step in the process, a czar is not allowed to do. Do you ever have that a czar is going to be chayev misa for that which is not the final step in the process? Now, previously, when Rabbi, according to the first lashon, Rabbi Zera's challenge was that we couldn't imagine that there's an avoda that you could do at night that a zar is not allowed to do. But over there, there's machlokas in the mafarshim. What are we questioning? Are we questioning, is it really true that an avodas laila is going to be puzzled by a zar? Or is it really true that an avodas laila a zar is going to be chayv misa for? So over here, there's no question that it's only about chayv misa. Of course, we're fully aware that there are avodas that are not an avodatama that are puzzled for a zar, that a zar absolutely cannot do, and that he would puzzle the avoda. That there's no question about, because it's mefurish and mesachas zvachim that if a zar is mekabel the dam, he puzzles it. Kabbalah's adam is not an avodatama; it's not the last step in a process. So there's no doubt that a zar can puzzle an avoda. It's not an avodatama. What the Gemara is asking over here is the Kutei Halachas points out, Chavos Chaim points out. What the Gemara is asking over here is clearly that how could you say that a zar is chayiv misa for something that's not an avodatama? That's the Rabbi Zera's real challenge over here. Now, the first couple of lines over here on the top of the page, the Rashi takes out all of that. That doesn't really belong over here. The Gemara over here is asking Rabbi Zera, how could it be that a zar is chayiv misa only on an avodah tama, if after all we find that he's chayiv for haktaras evarim and shumas hadeshan, which are not avodas tamas? But that can't be what the Gemara is asking, because we already said that, we said previously that Haktara and Trumas Hadeshen are Avodas Tamos. The Gemara had said in Chavdal and Beis. So it doesn't make sense to start bringing up Trumas Hadeshen and Haktara Sevar Mubadarim. How could it be Azar Chayiv Misa? They're not an Avodas Tama. The Gemara already established a few dabim ago that they are an Avodas Tama. So it would make perfect sense that Azar Chayiv Misa for those things, and therefore Rashi erases these first few lines. So Rashi goes straight to Eli'i Itmar. So says Gemara, Eli'i Itmar, Hachi Itmar. So if you want to say the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, here's what Rabbi Yochanan really meant to say. That Am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Zar Shesidr Shnei Gezirei Eitzim Chayiv. Not if a Zar is Mesadr the Maracha, the major pile of wood on the Mizbeach is going to be Chayiv. No, if he brings those two extra blocks of wood and puts those on the Mizbeach, he's going to be Chayiv. Hold Avodatami, because that actually is an Avodatama. That's actually the final stage in the process. So it's mashlim, the entire process of being Mesadda the Maracha. Whereas the Haktaras Evarim of the Karban Tama that come after it, that's a brand new Avodah. But as far as setting up the wood, the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim in fact is an Avodatama. So Maskav Rava El Meata Tibai Pais. Wow, Shnei Gezirei Eitzim sounds like a very Chashva Avodah. So why don't we require a Pais for it? Why don't we require raffling off who gets to do that? So says Gemara, we don't. V'lo baya pais v'atanya mishal zach b'chumas hadeshen yiskam v'sidr shnei gezirei eitzim. So when we raffle off who gets to do the chumas hadeshen, that same person does the shnei gezirei eitzim. So it's exactly an avod. It is something that we require a pais because it's such a chashva avoda. So says Gemara, no, that wasn't really our question. Hachi kamer yufaisu lo b'fnei atzma. Our question is, why does it have to be tacked on to the pais that we do for the chumas hadeshen? Shouldn't it warrant its own pious? Shouldn't we get together and do a raffle specifically for the right to do the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim? Says Gemara, Kedarminan. Well, you remember, we already said on Daf Chaf Beis that originally the Chamim were misaking a pious for the Trumas Hadeshen alone, but they saw that the Kohanim were not coming. They weren't interested. So they had to throw in a prize. They had to make something that's appealing that goes along with the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim was chashav enough. It was appealing. So they put that in together with the pious for the Trumas Hadeshen. So it's not on account of its lack of chashivos that it was put together with Trumas Hadeshen. Adrabah, it's because of its chashivos that it was put together with the Trumas Hadeshen to make people eager to want to join that pious. But bottom line is, what we see from here is that the only an avoda that has two conditions will we say that you're mefayis for. It has to be both an avoda tama and a zaras v'chayiv misa for it. If it has both of those qualities, then we'll do a pious for it. So says Gemara, the Meimra, the avoda tama v'zar chayiv la misa by a pious, and that only if it has both of those qualities, it's gonna require a pious. But ain zar chayiv la misa lo by a pious. But if it's not an avoda that a zar would be chayiv misa for, it's not gonna require a pious. Very shechita. Shechita is ksheira bazar, and nevertheless we do a pious for shechita. So it says, no, no, shiny shechita tchilas avodah diyamavihi. Well, shechita is really chashuv, even though it's ksheira bazar, because it's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of the avodah sayom, so it has enough chashivos even without a zar being chayiv misa in it. Rashi takes out the next couple of lines as well, where we say the meimer davodah tama bayi pious avodah shishachav lo bayi pious veivram b'dorim savodah mamiyah shumas adashim mishumas shaya. Where again we're challenging from shumas adashim and from Evar Mubdarm, that doesn't belong in our discussion, because they in fact are an Avodah Tama. So the way Rashi reads the Gemara is, we can pick up on the next line. That in our Mishnah we have a Raya to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Sidur Shnei Gezirei Eitzim is an Avodah Tama, unlike Rav and Levi, who said back on Chavdal Ram Beis that a Sidur Shnei Gezirei Eitzim is not an Avodah Tama, because you still have to put the limbs of the Karban on top of the fire. So Amar Lehem, and the Raya is from the Mishnah we're about to read in the beginning of the third parak, Amalem Mamuna, that the Mamuna, the Sagan, would say, Tsu'u, go to a high place above the walls of the Azaro, or the roof, Uru'u imigiyaz manashchita, and go check if the Zman Ashchita of the Karban Tamid has arrived. V'ilu Zman Sidu Gzireitim Lokatani. He doesn't say, oh, we need to see if daylight has come so that we can know if it's time for Sidu Shnei Gzireitim. So it must be that, why didn't he say about that? Why is he highlighting, I need to know if daylight is coming, because I need to know if it's okay to bring the Karban Tamid. Why didn't he say, I need to know if daylight is coming, because I need to know if it's okay to bring the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim? It must be that the Sidur Shnei Gezirei Eitzim is the Gemara, the Sidur Ma'aracha, and therefore it could be done at night. So that's why it's considered an Avodah Tama. Because it could be done at night, it's a raya to the fact that it's the Gemara of the Sidur Ma'aracha, and if it's the Gemara of the Sidur Ma'aracha, then that makes it an Avodah Tama. So says Gemara, no, really, he did need to know whether daylight had come in order to do the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, because it has nothing to do with the Ma'aracha. It's a separate thing. It's not an Avodah Tama. Hach delesa takanta katani. Hach delesa takanta lo katani. The reason the Mishnah is going to highlight that I need to know if daylight has arrived so that I can know about the Karban Tamid is because if you check the Karban Tamid and it's not daylight, then you're in trouble. Then you can't fix that problem. Then you messed up. The animal's dead already. You can't reshecht it. If you're Masad the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim and it turns out that you did it a little early, that you jumped the gun in being Masad the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, so that's not a big deal because you could just undo it and do it again, right? That's what we had on the top of Chav Zayin Beis, where we said that that you're Porik and the Chozer V'Sodra, where the Gemara said, well, why would the Tzar be Porik V'Chozer V'Sodra? If the Tzar is Sodra it again, then it's going to be the same problem all over again. So the Gemara said, no, the Tzar takes it apart and then a Kohen could go ahead and do it. So it's not the biggest deal if it's done by a czar, because you could undo it, and it's not the biggest deal if it's done too early, because then you could just redo it, undo it and redo it after you already have rays of light. So Hadra Lach Marishona. So now we begin Bez Hashem the third parak of Maseches Yuma. So says the Mishnah, Amalam Mamuna, the Mamuna, the Sagan, would say to them, Tzuru'u, imigiyaz man shechita. Go out on top of the wall or on top of the gag and go see if the Zman Shechita of the Karban Tamid has arrived yet. Meaning, go see if the Heir Pnei Mizrach, if the eastern side of the sky, has lit up and daytime has therefore started. The Rambam writes in the Perush HaMishnayos, Heir HaMizrach means that the Pnei HaMizrach began to change color. In the Bir Halacha, in Simin Nun Ches, he has a Machlokas HaPoskim. He quotes Machlokas HaPoskim when that is exactly. That some say it's Amud HaShachar, and that Amud HaShachar is before the Zman of Heir HaMizrach, and others say that Amud HaShachar is the Zman of Heir HaMizrach. So it's unclear whether it's just after Amud HaShachar or it's at Amud HaShachar, but go see if there's a certain amount of light in the sky. See, Im Higia, if the Zman came, Haroa Omer, the person who's on top of the roof and looking out for the light, will say, Barkai! Barkai means it's lit up. We're going to see in the Gemara is going to have different versions of exactly what words he said to describe the lighting up of the sky. Masa ben Shmuel said that the Mamuna would ask the guy who's looking on top of the roof, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach Ad Sheb Chevron, is it all lit up all the way until Chevron? And that's when he would, that which is a little bit of a later time than Barkai. Barkai means it's a flash of light, a ray of light. But Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach Ad Sheb Chevron means that it's much more lit. And then he would have to say yes. V'lava, the Gemara will discuss who says yes. Who exactly, how does this conversation go? V'lama hutzchu l'kach, why did they have to go up to the rooftop to see if it's Heir HaMizrach? Shapama chasal l'ma'or ha'levana v'dimush Heir HaMizrach v'shachtas tamid. Because one time, when you just, if it's just just the people on the ground looking at the sky, you could be fooled easily. One time they were looking at the sky and there was moonlight, and they confused the moonlight for sunlight, and they shechted the Karma Tamid, and it turned out that it was too early, and it's you, the Beis HaSreifa, and they had to bring the Karma Tamid out to the Beis HaSreifa. The Bartanura points out that story, that disaster where they confused moonlight for sunlight, could not have possibly happened on Yom HaKippurim. It must have happened at some other time, because in the first third of every month, the sun is the moon is not near the Alos HaShachar, and it would only happens at the end of a month that the moon would be near the Alos HaShachar, and that they would confuse the moon and the sun. So that story could not have happened around Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is always in the first third of the month. It's on the 10th day of Tishrei. But they saw that mistakes happen, and since a mistake like that happened, maybe some other mistake might happen. It might be a light tower or something, I don't know, some other mistake that might happen that people will get confused, and that's why on Yom HaKippurim also, they would require this. That's what the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos, that there were two things, at some other time, in some other month, the Ara Levana was confused for the Ara Chama, and on Yom HaKippurim, there was some other Maisa that did happen, the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos, the Mishnah doesn't record it. There was some other Maisa that did happen, that also caused similar type of confusion. And therefore, they needed to send the guy up top to make sure that he has clarity on exactly what he's seeing. Haridu Kohen Gadol the Beis HaTvila, and then once they got confirmation that it was already time, so then did I skip something? So they thought that it was Heir Mizrach, so they shechted the Tamid. Yeah, no, I read that, right? So we read the Kohen Gadol the Beis HaTvila. Then they brought the Kohen Gadol to the Beis HaTvila, meaning once they got confirmation that the Zman Shechita of the Karban Tamid has arrived, so the Kohen Gadol went to the Tovel before he shechted the Tamid. And Zaklala Yibam Mikdash. The idea of doing the Tevila at that point fits into the general rules of what they would do in the Mikdash. Like Kalamesa Chazraglav, once we're talking about Tevilos in the Mikdash, anyone who would go to the bathroom for gedolim, ton tevila would require tevila. But if someone only urinated, then ton kiddush adayim raglayim. Then he only needs kiddush adayim raglayim. He does not require tevila. There's a question in Achron. The Sfasem is not sure when someone requires tevila, does he also need kiddush adayim raglayim, or do we assume that the tevila covers both? That the tevila covers the requirement of tevila, and it also covers kiddush adayim raglayim. So you don't need kiddush adayim raglayim on top of Tevila. Okay, so says the Gemara now on the top of Amud Beis, on top of Chav Ches Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Barak Barkai, that the guy on the lookout would say, Barak Barkai, that the light has lit up. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Allah Barkai. He would say a different lashon of Allah Ha'ar, that the light has come up, which is a little bit later than Barak Barkai. Barak Barkai means like there's a little flash, a little bit. Allah Barkai means it's come up more fully. Nachuma ben Apakshion Omer. I don't know, does that person appear anywhere else in Shas? It's such an unusual name. I don't know. Someone's got to do a Bar Ilan search or something. They say that when they printed they claim to have found a new Masechta of Talmud Yerushalmi about 100 years ago, a little more than 100 years ago, someone had claimed to have found an archive or something somewhere in Geniza, a Masechta of Talmud Yerushalmi that had been lost, and he wanted to make a big deal in the Torah world about it, so they showed it to a number of Gedolim, and it looked pretty legitimate, and they showed it to the Ragachever. The Ragachever looked through it, he said, it's a forgery. And they said, how do you know? He said, because every single Masechta in all of Shas, Bavli and Yerushalmi, has one Tana or Amora that doesn't appear anywhere else in Bavli and Yerushalmi. And this forgery was so good, they didn't make up any new names. They used only, meaning they took from Gemara's here and Gemara's there, and they put it together, and they made their own Yerushalmi. I guess some people don't have anything better to do with their time. So they made a Yerushalmi. So the Rosh Hashanah, so I don't know, I'm always curious, like in each Masechta, who's the guy? So we gotta look into that. So it's Nachuma ben Apakshi and Omer, Af Barkai, that they would say, the Af Barkai Chevron, that it was even lit up in Chevron, so that's even a little bit more light. That's the third sheet of what he would say. Masi ben Shmuel, Hamuna al Payasos Omer, the Masi ben Shmuel, who was in charge of the Payasos, said that you have to say, Heir Pnei Kol Mizrach Acha B'Chevron, that the holy side of the sky until Chevron is lit up, which is even more light. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Heir Pnei Kol Mizrach Ad B'Chevron, V'yotzu Kolam Ish L'Malachto, that he's got to confirm even more light, that it's so light that the whole light, the whole eastern side of the sky in Chevron is lit up, and people are ready already going to work. So five different shittos of how much light there needed to be confirmed before we start the Avodah Sayyum, before we start getting the Kohen Gadol to the Beis HaTevila and moving things along. So if that last one is correct, that you wait until people go to work, Nagalei Tuva, that's very light outside already. So why would they wait so much? So the Gemara says, no. When he says Yatzu Ishlam Melachto, it doesn't mean that the workers are actually starting to go to their daily jobs, but Liskar Polim coming. And it means the people who need to hire workers are going out already to go and hire those workers to bring them to the jobs. So it's a little bit earlier. It's setting up that you have enough workers in advance. So once we're discussing the issues of Zrizus and going and doing as early as you possibly can to do the mitzvah, so the Gemara is going to go on a little bit of a tangent about the Zrizus of Avram Avinu. The Siach Yitzchak explains that why would we have to be medakte kol kach to make sure that Heira Mizrach, they could have just waited till Netzach Hama, and then you have no doubts about anything, and then you can bring the Karban Tamid. Wait till it's Vadayom. Why do you have to know exactly when it's so early, when it's the earliest possible time? So that's why the Gemara brings the inyan about the tefillah of Avram Avinu, to tell us the notion of Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvos, that mitzvah min amuvchar is that in the first possible chance to do a mitzvah, you do it without delay, as a way of showing a general excitement for the mitzvos. So that's what they would do. They wanted to show this excitement for the mitzvos, that they didn't want to wait till it was Vaday Yom and therefore start doing the Avodah. They wanted to investigate when they could possibly do it, and as soon as they could possibly do it, jump on the opportunity. So Amar Rav Safra, Tzlosei Davram, the tefillah of Avram Avinu, which seems like it's describing tefillahs mincha of Avram Avinu, Rashi writes tefillahs ha'erev shalo, which means tefillahs mincha, Tosi Shonim is bad, Tosi Shonim quotes from Rabbeinu Tam. Wait, Avram Avinu wasn't the one that was mesakein mincha. Avram Avinu was the one that was mesakein shachris. Yitzchak is the one that was mesakein tefillahs mincha, because the pasuk says ve'yetzi Yitzchak l'soach mesadu lifnos erev. So tefillahs mincha is Yitzchak. So he says nevertheless, after Yitzchak was mesakein it was during Avram Avinu's lifetime. If Yitzchak made a takana, you don't think Avram Avinu is going to abide by takana Yitzchak Avinu? So Yitzchak Avinu was mesakein tefillahs mincha. Then Avram Avinu started davening mincha because Yitzchak said that you're supposed to daven mincha. Or says Shanim, it could be that Avram Avinu was the first to daven mincha, but he was not mesakein it for Bnei Beiso. Sometimes a person takes upon themselves a certain hanhagatova, a certain chumrah, doesn't mean that they require everybody in their family to do it. Yitzchak was the one that institutionalized mincha. Avram Avinu also davened mincha. The Aruch explains that the Gemara means Slusei Davram is the tefillah of the avos collectively. It's not about Avram Avinu per se. It only mentions Avram Avinu because he was the first of the avos. But Ein Achinami, Yitzchak was one that was mesakein mincha. So okay, so you have these different explanations of how it is that we're describing a mincha of Avram Avinu. If Avram Avinu was not the mincha person, it was Yitzchak that was mesakein mincha. But anyway, the Slusei Davram, the point is Miki Mishachri Kosli, that he would daven mincha when the walls would start to get dark, meaning the sun, when let's say you have a wall on the eastern side, we could see through these windows sometimes in the morning. Now the sun rises very early, but when we were davening, when the sun was rising a little later, we'd see the sun coming up on this side of the building. That's how we know we're facing the right way, right? So when the outside wall has the sun rising, the outside wall has the sun shining on it. But as soon as the sun goes overhead, it's no longer shining on the wall of on the eastern side of the building, because the sun is already heading over to the other side. So as soon as the sun is overhead, as soon as you pass Chatzos Hayom, so that's right away, that's when Avram Avinu would jump on the opportunity to daven Tefillas Mincha, right after Chatzos Hayom. So you see that he did it with such alacrity to daven right away. So Amar Rav Yosef, Anan Me'Avram, Nekum Nigmar. What, we can learn from the Zrizus of Avram Avinu? Who could possibly learn from the Zrizus of Avram Avinu? Rashi seems like he understands the Gemara's Kasha to be, how could it be? We can't possibly have such aspirations to be a Zariz like Avram Avinu. It's too much Rizus. We're never gonna live up to such high aspirations. However, the Tos Yishonim quotes, first he says like Rashi, but then he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, that the Kasha is, how can we learn from Avram Avinu from the halfway through the sixth hour till halfway through the seventh hour, the sun is directly overhead, and it's not yet Zman of Tfilas Mincha, meaning the Zman of Tfilas Mincha we normally assume is a half hour after Chatzos Hayom, when the sun is not directly overhead. The wall is already darkened when the sun is directly overhead. So the Aruch explains that what we're asking is, how do we learn from Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu was Mekayim the Torah before it was given. We can only learn from the Minig Nevi'im that were Noeg Al Pi Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, but whatever happened before the Torah was given cannot govern our that's our Kabbalah Satorah connection of the week. Whatever happened before the Torah was given cannot govern our behavior. So those are three interpretations of what exactly the Gemara is asking. Where the Gemara is so troubled, how can we learn this from Avram Avinu? So Amarava Tana Gomer Me Avram Vanan Lo Gamrinu Minei. What's the problem of learning from Avram Avinu? The Tana learns from Avram Avinu. We shouldn't be able to learn from Avram Avinu. The Tanya, after all, we have a brisa that tells us when it comes to Bris Mila, Ubayom Hashmini Yimol B'Sara Laso Melamich Kala Yom Kashul Mila. Really, you could do Mila at any point during the day. Ella Shazrizim Nakdim La Mitzvos. But we try to do Mitzvos as early in the day as possible. Shenemar Vayashkim Avram Baboker Vayachvosh. And the pasuk continues as Chamoro that Avram Avinu woke up early in the morning when it came to Akedas Yitzchak, and he was in his diaries to do the Mitzvos quickly as early as possible. So you see that in general, when it comes to Mitzvos, you're supposed to try to do them as early as possible. So we learn the concept of Zrizos from Avram Avinu. Why can't we learn the Zman of Tfilas Mincha from Avram Avinu? What's the big kasha? So Tos Rush points out that according to Rashi, that Rav Yosef's kasha was, who could possibly aspire to the levels of Avram Avinu? So we understand what the Gemara is saying over here. What do you mean? We do. We aspire to Avram Avinu. That's how we learn Zrizos from. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the kasha was that Avram Avinu davened too early, that he was davening at a time that it was too early for us to daven. It's hard to understand what the answer is over here. That, oh, because we learned Zrizos from Avram Avinu, therefore we can daven too early also. It's hard to understand what exactly the Shakla Vitari is according to Rabbeinu Tam. So anyway, the Gemara explains the kasha of Rav Yosef differently. Ella Amarava, Rav Yosef HaKokashale. That what bothered Rav Yosef on Rav Safra was that we shouldn't learn from the minhag of Avram Avinu to Tanan, because the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim Daf Nun Ches says when it comes to shechting the Karban Tamid on Erev Pesach that Chal Avri Pesachim Lios Erev Shabbos, that if Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos and you have to shecht the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im as early as possible, because the Karban Pesach is supposed to be shechted after the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, and not only you have to shecht the Karban Pesach, you have to roast the Karban Pesach, and you can't do it at night because it's going to be Shabbos that night. So that's the time where you have to make sure the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im is shechted as early as you possibly can when it falls out on Erev Shabbos. Nishchat b'sheishu mechzah. So the Karban Tamid is shechted 6.5 hours into the day, b'karav b'shevu mechzah. And then you're makrivit at 7.5 hours into the day. So that's a kasha on Rav Safra, because if you're going to learn from Avraham Avinu that as soon as the walls start to darken, the eastern walls start to darken, that's called Ben Arba'im. V'nishchim yikir m'shachri kosli. Why don't we shecht it as soon as the walls start to darken? Why do we wait and that long until 6.5 hours into the day? Why don't we do it right away at the beginning of the seventh hour of the day? 6 hours and 1 minute into the day, we should already shecht the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. So and that would be the same for Mincha. Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im relates to Mincha. So it says my kushya. Why is that such a kasha? V'dilma kolsei de beis hamikdash b'sheishu mechzah b'shachri mishum d'lam mechab nituva. How do we know that the kolsei beis hamikdash were exactly straight? Maybe they were a little bit wider at the bottom, and therefore they didn't really start to darken until the sun was a little bit further overhead. So Avram Avinu would daven when the eastern walls would start to darken, and that's when they brought the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im in the beis hamikdash. Also, it just that happened to have been 6.5 hours into the day, because it took a little longer since the walls weren't perfectly aligned. Inami, or another possible answer to answer the kasha of Rav Yosef, Shani Avram did Sagninus Kedola Hesablivo. Maybe Avram Avinu was different because he was such an expert in the Kochavim and the Mazalos and how the Shamayim worked that he knew exactly when Ben Arba'im was. And therefore, he could daven Bidiyuk at the beginning of Ben Arba'im, right after Chatzos Hayom. But the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash cannot rely on their expertise to get that right. If they were to try to bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im mamish right after Chatzos Hayom, they might mess up and they might be off by a minute or two, and that would ruin everything. They're going to be before Chatzos. It's going to be puzzle. So they had to put a little safety mechanism. So they waited until a half hour to give themselves a little more time. If you were to, Ritva points out, if you were to allow everybody daven b'diyuk at Chatzos when the Ksalim are mashchirim, then people are going to daven kodem azman. They're going to daven too early. However, Tosi Shon points out in the Emor Rabbeinu Tam, it would turn out that if you do find someone who's a chacham kamoso, like Avram Avinu, who has such expertise and knowing exactly when Chatzos is, then in a chinami, he'd be allowed to daven earlier than a half hour after Chatzos, which is astonishing, because that would mean that Bizmanenu, we all have that expertise. It's called a clock. All you need is a clock that's aligned. You know, it says exactly the same thing on my watch that it says on my computer screen. I know, it's all we have it all aligned. Everything's somehow connected. We know exactly what the time is. But that's how the Tosi Yishonim suggests. Rosh Hashanah raises the question that according to this Teretz, it turns out that Avram Avinu is different than the rest of the world, and that we can't learn from Avram Avinu.
So how does that really answer the question? Meaning, we said we learn from Avraham Avinu. How can we learn from Avraham? Meaning, we said we can't learn from Avraham Avinu. How could we possibly learn from Avraham Avinu? So the Gemara's answer was, we do. We learn from Avraham Avinu sometimes. Over here, we're saying, no, we don't. We really don't learn from Avraham Avinu because he was different. So he says it could be that the girsa should be Ella Shaini and not Inami. That the Gemara is coming to explain the Shaila of Rav Yosef as a hemshech to what Rav said, and we're not really trying to explain that we do learn from Avraham Avinu. Inami, another way to be mitaritz Rav Yosef's kasha, that Avraham Avinu was able to figure out exactly chatzos mishum zezakin v'yosha b'yeshiva hava. He had a certain yeshiva das that he was able to achieve because he wasn't so busy with other things. He was zezakin v'yosha b'yeshiva, he was learning Torah, he was contemplating the Ribono Shel Olam, so he wasn't caught up with a million other things. That's what distracts a person from being able to figure these things out. So he didn't have that level of distraction. Now, La Halacha, the Torah writes that in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel that the Zman of Minchas Mishesh Shalos Mechzel Lamayla Ad Halayla, 6.5 hours into the day you can already start davening Minchas. The Beis Yosef writes from the Torah it sounds like that's Lechadchila, that Lechadchila a half hour after Chatzos you can already start davening Mincha, and that's what the Rush writes in the Tshuva and Klal Dalet as well. However, the Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Tefila writes that since Tefilas HaMinchas connected the Tamish Shel Ben Arba'im, and the Tamish Shel Ben Arba'im on a typical day was Karav B'Tei 9.5 hours into the day, it was only on special occasions, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, Erev Pesach, whatever, that they had to push up the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, so they were misaking this man of Karban Mincha, Mincha Ketana, 9.5 hours into the day. And because in Erev Pesach, Shechal Yos Be Erev Shabbos, they would check the Karban Tamid as early as 6.5 hours into the day, so it's mutter to Davin Mincha as early as 6.5 hours into the day. So it sounds very clearly from the Rambam that the real best time to Davin Mincha is Teisha Shalos Mechzel Lamayla, is after 9.5 hours of the day, and the Zman of Mincha Gedola, which is 6.5 hours into the day, you Yotze, but it's not Lechachila. In Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel, that's where he paskins, that someone who davens Tfilas Mincha after 6.5 hours of the day, Yotze, but Iker Zmana, the ideal time, is 9.5 hours into the day to daven Mincha up until Laila. In the Kleisenberger, in the Tshuvas Divrei Yitziv, in Arachayim Siman Sadiches, he points out that what about our Gemara? Tzlusa Davram is the Zrizos, he would daven at the earliest part, became Meshachri Pasli, as soon as the walls would darken. Sounds like that's a Maila, that you're supposed to daven as early as possible. So he points out that the Rashash and Maseches Brachos already asked that Kasha. But nevertheless, in Shari Tshuva, or Chaim Reish Lamedei, he quotes that the Arizal was careful not to daven Mincha until close to Shkia, that would be the ideal time to daven Mincha later in the day. Magen Avraham is Medayik that way as well, that before Sheshu Mechzi, not Yotze, and really ideally you should daven later in the day. L'chora, that's against our sugya though, because our Gemara seems to be highlighting that Avraham Avinu did this wonderful thing by davening as early as he possibly could. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta. Once we mentioned that Avraham Avinu was zakin v'yashiv yeshiva, so that brings us on the following tangent. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, mimein shalav aseinu lo parshi yeshiva mehem. Throughout all the history of the Jewish people, we always had people sitting and learning Torah. Hayu b'Mitzrayim yeshiva imahem. When we were in Mitzrayim, we had a yeshiva. How do I know that? Shenamar, because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu about the Geula, the impending Geula, he said, Leich v'asafta zikne Yisrael. Go gather together the Zikanim. Zikanim means people who are Yoshev Yeshiva. It means Zeshakana Chachma. Hayu b'midbar yeshiva imam. When they were in the midbar, they had a yeshiva. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, when Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu in the midbar, when it says that the burden of the nation was too great for him, Asvili Shevmish means zikne Yisrael. Gather together 70 Zikanim. Zikanim means Zakin Yoshev Yeshiva. Avram Avinu Zakin Yoshev Yeshiva Haya. And Avram Avinu was Zakin Yoshev Yeshiva Shenemar, Vavram Zakin Baba Yamim. Yitzchak Avinu Zakin Yoshev Yeshiva Haya Shenemar, Vayiki Zakan Yitzchak. The Yitzchak became a Zakin. Pasuk continues, Vatichena in of Miros. It sounds like it's describing old age and that he couldn't see anymore, but the Gemara is darshing it to mean that he was a Zeshakana Chachma, that he was Yoshev Yeshiva. Yaakov Avinu Zakin Yoshev Yeshiva Haya Shenemar, because when Yosef came to him with Menashe and Ephraim before he died, in Parshas Vayechi, Ve'ene Yisrael, Kavdu Mizoken, and that he was his eyes were covet, were heavy Mizoken, and so you see that he was a Zaken Yeshiva Yeshiva. Pasuk continues Lo Yechaliros, and he couldn't see, but it doesn't mean that they went blind because they were too old. It means that they were weakened from being Yoshiva Yeshiva so much, from sitting and learning so much. They were weakened. So even though it sounds from the Pesukim that Yaakov and Yitzchak were just going blind, and you could have said that that's what it was referring to, says the Ritva Chas V'Shalom to say that, because the Pasuk says V'Kovei Hashem Yachli Shlifu Koach, that a person who aspires to connection to Hashem will be granted Koach. So it must be that it was because they were Mabar B'Yeshiva that it was Tashash Kolchem, that it wasn't just Stam that they got old. The Marsha says similarly that when it says that Yitzchak and Yaakov are Koheneim, it's not telling you Gnus that they became blind. It's telling us the great Shevach that they were Mabar B'Yeshiva. And he says that's why we you know, historically, if we're going to mention that there was a yeshiva in Mitzrayim, and a yeshiva in the Midbar, and a yeshiva in the days of the Avos, we should have said it the other way. We should have started with the Avos and then gone to Mitzrayim in the Midbar. We said Mitzrayim in the Midbar and then the Avos. So he said, because we first want to highlight that whenever we say Zaken, it really means there should be yeshiva, says Marsha. And therefore, when you look at the Avos, it's not just that they got old, it's that there were Yoshe B'Yeshiva. So we first want to establish that that's what it always means. That's why we talk about the Midbar and Mitzrayim in the Midbar first. Eliezer Avad Avram Zaken Yoshe B'Yeshiva Haya. Eliezer Avad Avram was the Zaken Yoshe B'Yeshiva Shnei Amar, because the Pasuk says when Avram sends him to find a wife for Yitzchak, Vayomer Avram El Avdu Zikan Beso HaMoshel B'Chala Shalom. So Amar Rab Lazar Shemoshel B'Torres Rabbo, that he was Moshel B'Chala Shalom doesn't mean his money. It means he was Moshel B'Torres Rabbo, that he had control over all of the Torah of Avram Avinu. He was the Talmud Chacham. Who da mesek Eliezer? Once we're talking about Eliezer, by the Bris Ben Abisarim, it says when Avram says HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he doesn't have any children, and he said uven mesek Basi, who da mesek Eliezer? So what does the name da mesek mean? Amar Ablazer, Ablazer teaches it up. Shedolu umashka mitaris rabo la acherim, that he was able to draw from his master's Torah and give it to other people, like someone draws water from a well and gives to drink to other people. So Eliezer's great koach was to take Avram Avinu's Torah and be able to share it with others. Sometimes you have Talmidim of Gedolei Torah that their koach is in their own uniqueness, in their own abilities. And sometimes you have Gedolei Torah that their koach is the ability to take their Rebbeim's Torah and be able to distribute it to the masses. A lot of times the Rebbeim themselves weren't able to distribute it to the masses. They weren't able to, they weren't articulate enough, or they were too high a level that people couldn't understand them, but they have Talmidim who are able to translate that and give that over to the masses. That's the koach of Eliezer. Amarav, Kima Avram Avinu kala Torah kula. Avram Avinu fulfilled the entirety of Torah. Shemar, because when Hashem is promising Yitzchak that he's going to fulfill what he promised Avram Avinu, it says Eikev Asher Shama Avram Bekoli, and the pasuk continues. We don't quote it, but the pasuk continues. V'yishmar mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai v'torosai. So Avram Avinu was shomer all of these things. He observed all of the Torah. The Marsha raises the question: what's the chiddush that Rav is saying that Avram Avinu observed the Torah? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah at the very end of Kiddushin Daf Pei Beis tells us. The Matzinu Sha'asa Avram Avinu Kala Torah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. So I need Rav and Amora to come and tell me what it already says in the Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin. So the Marsha explains that over there the lashon is Asa Avraham, and we learn from there that he was Mekayim all the mitzvos Asay in the Torah. It's Asa Avraham, but we don't know that he also observed the Los Asays, that he was careful about the Los Asays. So Rav Dafka says Kiyem. Kiyem means everything, the lavin included. Why would I think there's a difference between the assays and the lavin? Because when someone is an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, it means he's volunteering a mitzvah. So it makes sense to volunteer a mitzvah sase, but I'm going to volunteer a lo sase, meaning a woman may be pater from the yeshiva besukah, for example. It makes sense. An Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, she's going to volunteer to do it, and she's going to get credit as an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa in the mitzvah. But I'm going to volunteer a lo sase that doesn't apply to me? I'm not a Kohen. So there's no issur for me to have Tumas Mace. So I'm going to volunteer that I'm not going to be in the time of the Mace. Why? What kind of... I'm not accomplishing anything. You don't volunteer a lo sase. So that's the chiddush of Rav. That it wasn't just the Neina Mitzvah V'yosa. That this was tapping into something about the Jewish neshama. That tapping into the Torah and a way of life that's governed by the Torah. So I'm there, Simi Brachia L'Rav, Ve'im Sheva Mitzvos. But even when it says that Avram Avinu did mitzvos, maybe it just means the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. How do you know it means that he did more than that? That he fulfilled all the mitzvos? So it says, no, because how you cannot mean Mila, because he did Mila, Vema Sheva Mitzvos, Umila. Okay, so maybe he did Sheva Mitzvos, and also Mila on top of that. Amalei Imkein Mitzvos Sai V'Sorosai Lamali. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say to Yitzchak that he observed Mitzvos Sai V'Sorosai? If Avram Avinu was only Mekayim Sheva Mitzvos and Mila, he could have just said, Shomer Avram Bekoli V'Yishmar Mishmarti, that he was Shomer everything that he was commanded to do. When he says Mitzvos Sai V'Sorosai, he must be telling me extra, beyond what he was commanded to do. Amar Rav Avitem Ravashi, Kiyam Avram Avinu Afilu Eruvi Tafshilin, even Dinim Drabanan, like Erev Tafshilin, then Avraham Avinu is Mekayim Shneimer, because the pasuk says Torah Sai in the Lashon Rabbim, and we darshan Achas Torah Shebichsav v'Achas Torah Shebal Peh. And now goes Fitzhugh and says, what does Torah Shebal Peh have to do with Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin is a Din Rabbanan. It should have said, so he changes it to v'Achas Divrei Sofrim. Whether it be Torah Shebichsav, whether it be Divrei Sofrim, he fulfilled. The Rashash explains that Erev Tavshilin is an example of Torah Shebal Peh because it's a Takanas Chacham, it's not a Lach L'Moshim Sinai, but it's called Torah Shebal Peh based on what the Gemara darshins in Megillah Daf Yotes. The pasuk says by the Luchos Habris, va'aleim kechol advar masher dibar Hashem imachem. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe everything that the later generations were going to be mechadesh, that even what that which Chachamim are going to be misakein was already neat on the Moshe B'Sinai, and that's all included in Torah Shebal Peh. That Torah Shebal Peh includes all of the dinim derabanan as well. So it does make sense to say Achas Torah Shebichsav v'Achas Torah Shebal Peh. Masi ben Shmuel Omer v'Omer Hein. So now going back to the conversation, the guy went up to the top of the roof to see if there was any light in the sky, and there was some sort of conversation from the person on the bottom, the Sagan on the bottom, and the fellow on the top to discuss the light in the sky. So man Amar Hein, who said yes? Ilem Haftakayagri, if it's the guy on the rooftop, who Chalavum Fasher, he's the dreamer and he's the interpreter of the dream also? Meaning, how does it make sense that the guy on the roof is the one that asks the question, and he's also the one that answers the question? Because he's the one that said, Heyer. So how could he then say Hein to what he just said? Ela Haftakayar, must be the guy that's on the ground? Minayada. But how could the guy on the ground confirm that there's light in the sky? He doesn't see the sky. He's on the ground. He doesn't have the same view. So Iba Yisei Mahaktakai Arav, Iba Yisei Mahaktakai Igra. It could be referring to either one of them. Iba Yisei Mahaktakai Igra could be referring to the guy up on the rooftop. Amar Ihu, the guy on the roof would say to the guy on the karka, Heyer Pnei Kol HaMizrach. The Pnei Kol HaMizrach is lit up. Va'amalei Haktakai Ara. Then the guy standing on the ground would say in a questioning tone, that which you just told me, that Heyer Pnei Kol HaMizrach, Ad Shem Chevron? Is it all the way until Chevron? And the guy on the roof would say, hey, yes, confirmed, all the way until Chevron. Or maybe the one that says yes is the guy standing on the ground. And here's how the conversation went. Amar Ihu, the guy that was on the ground, would say to the guy on the roof, Heyer Pnei Kol HaMizrach, is the whole eastern side of the sky lit up? And the guy on the roof would say, Ad Shem Chevron, all the way until Chevron. And the guy on the ground would say, I'm sorry, Ad Shem Chevron, are you asking, is it lit up all the way until Chevron, or are you asking if there's just a little light? So Amalei, hey, yes, I'm asking if it's Ad Shem Chevron. I'm asking if it's all the way until Chevron. So you could touch up the conversation that either one is the one who said the word Hain in that context. Why did they need to go up to the rooftop and see if it was Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach? Because we said one time they got confused with the moonlight and the sunlight. Omi Michlev, is that something that they would confuse? That the light of the moon is very straight, it doesn't scatter. The light of the sun scatters all over the place. They never should have confused that. So it was a cloudy day, and therefore even the moonlight was scattered. You see that on a cloudy day, everything, the sun is so scattered on a cloudy day that it gets everywhere is considered to be in the direct sunlight. Meaning you would think that on a cloudy day, nothing is in direct sunlight. On a sunny day, that which is in direct sunlight is in direct sunlight. That which isn't, isn't. No, on a cloudy day, everything is considered to be direct sunlight. My nafkamina, who cares whether you call it direct sunlight or not? What's the nafkamina? L'shtuchei oros. If you want to spread out hides to dry them, so on a cloudy day you could do it anywhere, and it's considered that you're doing it in direct sunlight. That a woman who's baking on Pesach should not knead the dough in direct sunlight or in water that was heated by direct sunlight, because it will cause it would speed up the chimutz process. So what does she do on a cloudy day? Cloudy day, she shouldn't do it outside at all, because everywhere on a cloudy day is considered direct sunlight, and it will speed up the chimutz process. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amar Rav Nachman at the bottom of the page tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Dailygiving.org.